This is Information Farm Intelligence Analysis Session 2, recorded on June 7th, copyright 2010, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 6:37 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Zion.
Good evening.
Good evening, Ion.
Welcome to Information Farm's Intelligence Analysis with Bob Nebert and Ion. And the first set of interviews are from November 15th and 24th of 2009 with Bill Deagle, interviewed by Kerry Cassidy and Bill Ryan of Project Camelot, and also April 14th of this year with Bill Ryan and Bill Deagle at Project Avalon. Here's the first clip.
Can you address what you talked to me about the other day, which is what the move that China made on gold?
Yeah, well, what happened is China made this move on gold, which was reported by Steve Quayle, and I've got some other corroboration that in the spring when Hillary Clinton went over, and since then Geithner has gone over several times, that they gave guarantees that they're going to support the U.S. dollar because the Chinese want to basically, they don't want to see all their trillions of dollars denominated disappear into nothing. So making this public display to say that they're going to demand gold through the world court is like filing a lawsuit against somebody where you know you can't win. It's basically demanding that America play ball with China on a public stage so that they are a jockey for their position on the New World Order and they don't get wiped out financially. And that's okay, but that's just for public consumption because behind the scenes, America and China and Britain, for example, a few years ago, the globalists, including the Carlyle Group and others, basically dictated to the communist Chinese that you've got to put up for sale your largest manufacturing company in China for building these giant cities that they're. So 80% of the world construction is occurring in China right now. And guess who owns the construction companies and the major large equipment manufacturer? It's all the Carlyle Group that's owned by the British royals, George Bush Sr., and the Saudi Arabians. They're the ones that own it all. So it's all integrated. And the Chinese were set up originally by the British, and then Mao Zedong was basically a British operative. So the idea that somehow they're separate, they're just playing part of their game. You know, it's like cops and robbers so that they can maintain their position in this new order that's going to be developed with Russia and China and America and these other nations jockeying for a position at the trough to be the, right now it's the G20, the top 20 nations that make 75 to 80% of the world's economic output.
Okay, Ion, before I say anything, do you have a comment on what Bill Deagle has said?
Ed, I thought you said this had to do with intelligence.
You set us up, Ed. You brought us into the stupid zone.
Well, what is being said? The position of gold? Yeah, China's buying gold, but they already own a bunch of gold. Yeah, everybody's been a bowing and scraping to the government of China, but that don't have anything to do with what the peoples of China are going to do. Yeah, the Chinese have just literally boxcars full of gold. Boxcars, literally boxcars. And yeah, it served them well for that to sort of make its vespers be known. But then it goes flips into Carlyle, and the only thing he left out was the inference and the references of the lizard people that run the companies where all the buildings taking place for the G20 and all the output that is. Well, what difference does output have to do with anything? Let's talk about the gold if you want to talk about the gold. Yeah. But gold hadn't gone up since Jesus. Gold is the same as it's always been. It ain't changed a whit. Not one penny has gold changed. It ain't gone up, it ain't gone down. It's the same. When Jesus, one of the Jesuses, walked on the earth, an ounce of gold would buy you X number of loaves of bread. That same ounce of gold will buy you that much colonial or sunbeam bread now.
Okay, ion.
That's changed. So, okay, and then you go into all this other stuff, and we're like, what's the question? What does that have to do with gold, China, and that the euro's dropped to 450?
Okay, Ion, let's go into some of the terms he used. Do you know what he means by globalist?
Yeah, well, yeah, we do, but we're not positive he does.
Okay, so are there globalists, and are they led by George Bush and the Carlyle Group?
No, they are not led by the Carlyle Group. Because think about this for just a second. Now, how brilliant do you have to be? If there is this super conspiring conspiracy, all-powerful, all-knowing, all, why in the world would they tell him?
Bill Deagle.
Yeah.
Well,
if it's that good, how would he have it? If it's that conspiratorial, they're not very good conspiracists.
Okay, so there are international corporations, Exxon and that, and the Carlyle Group. They work globally in their offices.
They're called multinational corporations. Yeah, that's not a foreign vehicle by which companies do business.
Right, so you got the multinational corporations. Do they have control over national entities?
No, not control. They can't even run their own board, let alone their company.
So do the major American corporations do it this way. Does China have any concern in kowtowing to American corporations?
Hell no.
And why is that?
They don't care.
Well,
They're busy. They sweeping around their own door. When you start sweeping around your own door, you will find less and less opportunity to go sweep raking everybody else's yard.
Okay, that's good bunch of platitudes, but let's deal with China's move on gold. Is there a gold zone to move on? Hijack?
There's not, you lost it there. Let's talk about this gold zone. What are you asking about a gold zone?
Well, you were saying that they've got truckloads of freight car loads of gold.
They have freight car loads of U.S. dollars stacked. Many of those dollars are gold and silver certificates.
Yeah, you didn't mean the metal. You meant when you said...
Well, they have it, but they don't store it in boxcars. That's in other places.
It seemed that you said that, implied that.
Well,
so,
a gold certificate, a U.S. gold certificate, is the same as gold.
Okay, so these gold certificates, if you add them all up, does China have the most in the world?
Yes.
How long have they had the most?
Since before... They rented Hong Kong to Britain.
Yeah, which was 1800s, I guess. 1700s, 1800s. So they had the most gold before.
You want to have some fun?
Yeah.
The actual pounds that were printed for the payment for the rental of Hong Kong, guess what? They still have those original notes.
And
5,000 pound notes.
And I actually have seen them, haven't I?
You most certainly have.
Yeah, I remember that. So I've seen them, Ed. They exist. And they're very old dates, so to speak, on them. So you have China has the most gold before the British Empire gets going.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're allowed to pretend they run the world empire through the Opium Wars, you know, in the 1810s and 20s, I guess. LaRouche writes a lot about how the New England wealthy families got a lot of their power and money through the opium trade.
But then you do the lending.
We don't want to get too involved with Luce, but just that basic idea. Other people have said it. We're thinking of a China that's pillaged by the West, 200 years ago. That was not the case, is what you're saying.
No. Because they're different. If you're talking about pillaging, see, America has a 10-minute plan and can't keep it. China does the 1,000-year plan. And they just roll with the 1,000-year plan because they don't think they know. And because of that place, they don't get too excited when something comes along because they know the bigger picture, so it's not an issue.
Right. Now, we've discussed this on cash flow and tailgate, so I don't want to go into that. That's familiar, that background. Bill Deagle's mentioning Hillary last spring, would that have been... That would have been the Fort Hood time? No, that was in November. But he's talking about Hillary trying to get something going with China. Can you tell us more about what was going on that Bill's referring to but may not be accurate? What was Hillary
That's
doing?
That's when they were begging for another loan and they didn't get it.
Okay, China, the Chinese people, they got the most gold before the British Empire starts.
They had the most gold, Bob, since before Nebuchadnezzar sat on the throne.
Okay.
If you want to be specific.
So, yeah, and if you're talking conspiracy, China really pulled off the greatest conspiracy because they made themselves look weak and irrelevant for 500 years. That's pretty good.
You know, it's not how deep you fish, it's how you wiggle your worm.
Okay, so we know those images of the Chinese huge ships they had 500 years ago, and they had this big armada that went to South Africa, that area, and then the Western historians say for some reason they turned back, went back to China, and missed the development of empires that the Atlantic Ocean created when it was opened by Christopher Columbus. What was really going on with those ships, those huge armadas that they had 500 years ago, and why did they turn back?
They were loaded and they went back home.
I mean, they just picked up their booty from Africa?
Yep.
And they went back home, and they were good for the next 500 years with that booty. what did they get from Africa? What was happening over there that they could acquire? Hit the mother load again, just stumble into it?
You really want to know the answer to that question?
Yeah, of course.
Orme,
uh-oh, bring in that myth. Orme, so isn't that...
Myth? What do you mean myth?
Well, you got Orme is being sold today, and we had a client who still raves on about it. You know, this dust, gold dust powder, Orme stuff, is that what you're... The stuff that they're selling today, is that what you're referring to?
No.
All right, well, what is the Orme you're talking about?
The actual essence of the pure gold. You don't have much pure gold.
Today, we don't have much pure gold.
The way you even carat it at 24 karat gold, even beyond high noble, that even vacillates. So even the way you carat gold is not correct. So the best you get is 24 karat. Well, great, but that's all based on a high noble of a certain percentage of gold itself. But when you get pure gold, real gold, pure gold, it's not even gold colored. Almost clear.
And does it come from any interaction with parallel worlds?
It certainly can.
But not necessary.
Not required, no.
So there's a process to make that kind of transparent gold?
Not to make it, you just glean it.
You glean it? Where? What from?
The ground.
You like meditate it up? Levitate
it? Oh, no, you take a skull hole and start digging. Now, Ed's laughing because he's probably the only one old enough to know what a skull hole is.
Yeah.
You don't know what a skull hole is.
Yeah, but I'm older than Ed, and I do know what a skull hole is.
You know what a skull hole is? Wow. You feeble old geezer. Pretty good. That's good.
I had forgotten about it, but you brought it up about 10 months ago, and it rekindled my memory.
Ah, very good. What you do is you take a skull. Well, you don't want to go through that. You dig in the ground, Bob, and you can find it. Yeah.
You can find it. It's better. Pure gold is in the ground.
Well, it's not better. It just that's how you come by it.
So most of the gold mining since the last two... They haven't found it.
I mean, touched it.
Yeah, and I assume that means they haven't found it.
Right.
We have another exclusive, world exclusive here, Ed. So, okay, that's pretty... So they got that stuff. And
yeah.
And we and our Zurich gnomes, the guys in Zurich got all the gold there, holding it for people. They don't have any there anymore?
No.
Oh, another exclusive, Ed.
How about Zurich and Credit Suisse? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So much.
That gold was removed?
Why would they be borrowing from the IMF if they've got a vault loads of gold, Bob?
All right, so where did it get...
Why would they schedule G8s and why would they have G20s to mass control all as your... whoever you're speaking about
yeah.
the recording says, why would they have to be bastions of industry? If you own the cattle of 1,000 hills, you ought not to be borrowing milk.
So was that... It's the famous Fort Knox gold heist. Or by Goldfinger is, you know, the James Bond story. Was this removed at some point in the 20th century?
We like Peter Beater's version better.
All right, my buddy Peter Beater. All right, so it was not just Fort Knox gold that was removed.
Right.
And where was it removed to?
121 Depot Street, New York, New York, here at the wall.
Damn, you brought up that address that nobody can find on MapQuest. But if you walk through Manhattan, you can find it.
Yeah.
You want to say again where that is?
121 Depot Street. Go to Battery Park. Go up the street just a little bit. Not a block and a half from Trinity Church. Up to Wall Street. Take a right. Take a left. It's on your right.
Okay.
Uphill most of the way.
I have been... on a WBAI radio station in New York, when I was in New York, near Manhattan, and that's 120 Wall Street. How many feet or yards is this Depot Street from that building, 120 Wall Street? I think it's 120.
It would be two blocks toward Trinity Church.
Yeah, back towards, away from the East River.
Correct. That's
yeah.
exactly
yeah.
correct. Very good.
Okay, so... it would be the street, you'd walk back on Wall Street to get to Trinity
Good.
Church and then go a little north, turn
right. That's
right.
Correct.
Right.
That's correct. That's correct.
And it's a very tiny little street, little
yeah.
back alley kind of place.
Well, it's a little more vast than that, but is it a major thoroughfare? No, it is
right.
not. Right. And those that would go up and down through there would never even have a clue. It would be, you know, just as a connective route.
Right. So the Orme...
And it's real fun because if you ride the subway, you'll go along so far then and it just stops. And you're like, well, why doesn't it go on through? Well, it doesn't go on through. It just stops.
Well, what stops?
The subway.
It just stops?
It's the end of the line.
Is there any end of the line around there? What route would that be? I don't know that. There's F and there's this and that. Done that many times by subway. I don't know one that stops.
Well,
that's the city hall station. Maybe the city hall stops.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, it's one that doesn't continue and then it just starts back up on its route again. Goes
exactly.
back. I see.
Very good.
So that's very close to Depot Street where it stops.
Of course.
Hmm. Okay. Okay, so the Chinese have this Orme. Do any other countries or groups of people have Orme?
Yes.
And who would they be?
Well, there is a pretty significant store in Russia that the Politburo doesn't know they have, obviously, or they'd be peddling it. But within the confines of St. Petersburg, there's some.
Did the Tsar know of this?
Yeah, it's who it belonged to.
So in Africa, you find it. That's one of the main places you can get it?
Yes.
In what part of Africa is that?
Mozambique,
right?
Zimbabwe, and then there's a little, there's some tribal areas above Cape Town.
Okay.
That you have pretty decent access to. But now, they confuse that sometimes in the same place with the diamond mines, but this has nothing to do with the diamond mines, and they're actually separate. But that's, see, that's what a lot of that goes on just north of Cape Town.
Mm. So if you have this kind of gold, is it recognized?
No.
Not recognized on the world economy?
No, gracious no. Mm-mm.
But it is more valuable?
Well, yeah. If the world was made out of gold, men would die for a handful of dirt, Bob. So value is relative.
Okay, so the Chinese picked up, stored up on the Orme 500 years ago.
Yep.
Did they go back and get more?
Hadn't needed to yet.
So that is something, if push comes to shove and everything collapses, and even gold collapses, Orme...
gold ain't going to collapse.
Okay. So
I see you say, now we've done that on cash flow, and we're not going to do it anymore. Well, you still don't got it, so I guess we need to do
no,
it.
No, we don't need it. We got it. Sorry I said the word gold.
Gold collapse. Ain't going to crash. It ain't going up or down.
All right, but is Orme a back support for, well, what's the point of having Orme?
Well, good. Now you've got a question. Because of what it does, what it is.
Okay, what does it do?
Well, do you really want the answer to that question?
I mean, you'd never have to ask me that. I want to know every answer.
Right.
Even stuff about my genitalia. It doesn't matter. Whatever, I'm open.
Okay.
You never have to ask me again. Why would you want to know, Bob? Or
well, we're trying to slow it down so you don't shoot yourself in the foot just because you got bullets in your pistol.
Okay.
All right. When you talk about the word called angstrom, no one really knows. They fight about it. They're really having issues. So let's call it nano-sized particulate.
Okay. Right. Right.
Orme would be just that. It would be an angstrom level of AU.
Interesting.
And what it does is it can very easily be consumed by human meat sack folks. It can be from a nebulized position as releasing it in the air.
Yeah.
It can be a super conductive grounder. Because if you know, they talk about gold being a good conductor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, angstrom level gold is a superconductor.
Are they using it in their supercomputers, the Chinese?
No, don't have to.
Don't have to. But it is that, what you're describing. So it has a lot of practical uses. And is it used in the future, right now?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so was it deposited in our Earth from the future?
Yes, it was.
Like titanium?
Yes,
yeah.
And iridium.
And iridium. Interesting, and the next topic is magnetic
shift. Folks want to have some iridium if you got some place to store it.
Okay, so that was a great digression. We go back to Bill Deagle. And
bless Bill Deagle. We're so thankful to have this engagement. Now, is there really something said in this section? Meaning, is there something to say?
I want to just listen to it again for a second. I want to just review what he said.
Can you address what you talked to me about the other day, which is what the move that China made on gold?
Did China make a move on gold?
Now, why did they move?
It sounds like he's saying that China's in a less than state and was trying to take over the gold hierarchs of the 20th century, Bush and his gang. Okay, in light of what you've been saying, that's silly.
Well, we find that great fun when Mr. Geithner has to go beg them for money, and they are the less thans. That's pretty hysterical, isn't it?
Okay, so yeah, it's like I think they're assuming that China's just catching up and now the candidate to take over world power. You know, they've got
not as logical as the prostitute paying the customer for doing a business, having pleasure with them.
Well, is there any paperwork or some kind of documents to support what you're saying?
Well, Bob, you said you saw the pictures.
What oh, yeah. Oh, no, personally for me, yeah. And I don't know if we're going to show people that, but yeah, I saw them. But is that's the main documentation? That's all we got?
What do you mean? What documentation? Would a Kodak moment do it? What is there to validate?
Okay.
And why would the country, the people of China, want to show you how large or small their genitalia is?
Well, it's some of the criticisms I hear of Ion is, well, he says all this stuff, but I can't find any indication of what he's talking about.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Well, if they already knew it, why would they be listening to us?
Yeah. So that's our main point. Our main support is if you haven't heard this, then that means it's right, because you haven't heard of it. That's why it's new knowledge.
Well, if for no better reason, you could ask questions and figure it out for yourself. That's what's wrong. You got so many folks sucking in a sugar tit when they need to be coming into their own power. They need to get their own place of knowing, and then they can find out everything. So instead, they want the sugar tit put down their throat to chew on so that they don't have to ever develop their own place of power. They can always get someone else's power. Well, honey, let me tell you something, and just so you know, when you come into your place of power, it becomes a marvelous, powerful, delicious experience. Then you come into a place where you don't even have to think. You know. You can listen to something and know. Bam. Right there. You don't have to you don't have to do much.
Okay, fine. We got that. Yeah, we got that. Thank you. Let's go back to this puny little Lemuria.
We love it. It's delicious. Let it play.
Let's go to this little Lilliputian. No problem, Bill. Bill, who likes Carolyn, interviewed Carolyn, good friend of ours. I never spoke to him, but everybody's a good friend of us. Now that we got Ion working with us, everybody got to be a lover now. Now the cup is emptying and no more separateness. Right, he's gone. You better start being a nice guy. He ain't going to make it.
Be done with troubles and trials.
So we love you, Bill. It's just that you start. We can give you a private reading, Bill. Okay, Bill? Private reading.
Sounds like some we may already have.
Some of them have, yes. You're saying it sounds like some of them have?
Well, it's just close to the wordy words.
Yeah, okay, so let's see what he says.
Yeah, well, what happened is China made this move on gold, which was reported by Steve Quayle, and I've got some other corroboration that in the spring when Hillary Clinton went over, and since then Geithner has gone over several times, that they gave guarantees that they're going to support the U.S. dollar.
They want guarantees to support the U.S. dollar. Well, they didn't get them, did they?
No, they didn't.
Right.
But it certainly served them well. They just wanted to make. They just wanted more. They just wanted another loan.
Right. Okay.
The Chinese want to basically. They don't want to see all their trillions of dollars denominated disappear into nothing.
Chinese are worried about the dollar disappearing to nothing.
Nope. They don't really care. They're good. Why? Well, you notice that China ain't been over worried about the U.S. dollar.
That's right. Okay.
China hadn't been over. They hadn't said, now, what are y'all doing over at the reserve? Now, wait a minute. What is this Treasury's job? Now, wait a minute. How y'all collecting the money? How y'all covering all these big checks y'all writing? They're not too concerned about it. This is your house of ill repute. I guess you can run it any way you want to.
Next.
Making this public display to say that they're going to demand gold through the world court.
Who is this world court?
I didn't get that, Ed. Do you get what he's saying there? Somebody's going into the world court?
Okay, so Christopher Story has talked about that. That's the world court at The Hague. And what Story has said is that when sovereign nations or when royalty have lawsuits against each other, like at the world court, that these are not a matter of record. You wouldn't even be able to find out that they have filed a lawsuit. That this is between them and the court, which acts as a judge. So Deagle is saying that the United States has filed, or China, one or the other has filed charges against the other, the United States and China.
Yeah. That's why, well, then there should be no wars. You could all handle it at The Hague, don't you think?
Correct.
Well, but now we do love The Hague. That's that little place close to Pennsylvania Avenue. It's beautiful. Oh, it's just wonderful. You've got real good access.
But that's H-A-Y. He's talking about H-A-G-U-E.
Oh, well, we were just playing with them wordy words. Yeah. We're trying to get something of meaning out of this.
when you say there's no wars because of the Hague, well, if The Hague makes a decision, if the judge makes a decision, someone has to enforce it. That would be the war.
Well, congratulations. Why go through all that?
There you go.
You know, Henry VIII, it's a good thing he didn't have no Hague to go through. He just decided when he wanted Bologna, he just went and took it. We all would like to die to the bloody flux, but it's all right. He'd blow the hell out of them, and he went back to his ancestry of his birthright, you see. And it got bigger than the Plantagenetic movement. We need a good 100-year single malt scotch to be sipping on, start talking high-minded versions of this type of polyphony. But you really can't really get there from there. Because if you're talking about automobile wrecks, you need a personal injury lawyer. You don't need The Hague.
So you see no issues being debated in the world court between the United States and China?
Oh, peace.
Okay. All right. We carry on.
It is like filing a lawsuit against somebody where you know you can't win. It's basically demanding that America play ball with China.
China doesn't demand America to play ball. That might have been about 100 years ago that China demanded that.
Oh. But go back to this country 100 years ago, Bob.
Mm-hmm. When did China, if ever, demand the United States play ball with it?
Never.
Never. Never did.
Not one time ever.
They don't care.
They don't care. That's why they're known as dynasties.
Yeah, they last a long time, those dynasties. Okay, so far Bill hasn't even got to square one about anything about our time. Okay.
Behind the scenes, America and China and Britain, for example, a few years ago, the globalists.
Globalists. Okay, but that doesn't mean anything from your point of view, right, Ion?
Or from his words, him either.
Okay.
Including the Carlyle Group and others.
So he's saying the Carlyle Group dictated they might have dictated the government, the Communist Chinese, but they don't dictate the real power in China.
Well, and you know, that's the problem with them communists. They don't do much of this put up or shut up business.
Well, the Americans dictated, did they dictate to the Communist Chinese government?
That's what we just said. Communists have this bad way of not taking to someone else telling them what to do.
Right, that's just the weak Chinese government. The American government.
It's like the little boy who grows up and joins the army because he's tired of people telling him what to do.
So the American government wouldn't even be able to find the real power among the Chinese people to tell them what to do.
But they better have some fine walking shoes if they do.
Okay.
Your largest manufacturing company in China for building these giant cities.
Are they building giant cities in China?
They are.
Okay. So he's got that right, maybe.
Percent of the world construction.
Well, you don't have to be a PhD candidate to figure that one out, Bob.
I got it.
And guess who owns the construction companies and the major large equipment manufacturer? It's all the Carlyle Group.
Okay, so sounds like he's wrong there, saying the Carlyle Group is one who owns all the construction for all these giant cities.
Man, please.
Okay. It's like the Lilliputians claiming they run the world as they talk about Gulliver. They can't see Gulliver, who was Lemuel in the story. Right? You get the metaphor there, Ian?
Weak, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's owned by the British royals. George Bush Sr. and the Saudi Arabians.
Saudi Arabians and Bush own it all, Ion. How is Saudi Arabia doing today, in fact?
Fine. They just fine.
Are they in better shape than Bush and the Americans?
Is Americans based on the status of how Bush is doing?
I guess, according to Bill, since they run America and own America, then how are they doing in relation to Saudi Arabia? So you're not even going to be able to think about that. It's not even a fact.
Bush? Is it which Bush?
Bush Senior, the one who was president in 91.
Oh, well, he's spending all his time at the ophthalmologist trying to get his lizard eyes fixed.
Okay.
So it's all integrated.
It's all integrated, Ion. You're suggesting it ain't integrated.
What's integrated? He's saying it's all integrated, but what? The Bush and Saudi Arabia
and China.
Yep. And don't forget Halliburton. Oh, yes, it's Halliburton. Oh, yes, it's Cheney and his wife who had all the shares in Compass Bank. And, yes, they've all made deals and they've all moved all their businesses to build buildings in China. Yep, that's the ticket. That's the global economy now. It's how many lean-tos we can build in the country of China. Yeah, and we'll pop up their yuan currency. We'll get that all pumped up so that they can then exchange all them dollars they've already got for the yuans that they're going to print to make the yuans be swapped for the dollars so they can use the dollars over there. So that makes the gold go down over here so that the U.S. dollar can be pumped up so that the yen carry trade could be increased. So you wouldn't be running at about an $87 yen. Oh, wait, now that's a problem because now we've got a pound sterling that we've got to work out. And it's bumping about 450. Now Dow Jones has got a hold of it. Now we're sitting at 98.1636. Uh-oh, and the shorts are kind of long. And they don't know how this is all going to play out. So if Saudi Arabia owns it all, they're screwed.
Very nice, very nice. That was a good pattern.
Chinese were set up originally by the British, and then Mao Zedong was basically a British operative.
Oh, Mao Zedong was a British operative? Would you agree with that?
For Pete's sake, Mao Zedong. Bob, when you start going back... No.
Well, was what kind of power did Mao Zedong acquire
None.
In relation to the real power in China, which is in the people?
None.
Why do they, and the, it's like the real power in China, it doesn't pay attention to what goes on in Beijing or in the government level. It's
about as much as we do to the Herberts running America.
Right.
So the idea that somehow they're separate, they're just playing part of their game, you know, it's like cops and robbers so that they can maintain their position in this new order that's going to be developed with Russia and China and America.
Order, Russia, China, and America. You see that happening?
Lady Gaga, poker face. You can't read my poker face.
We can't read the Chinese poker face?
All right.
So we wouldn't know whether we had a deal with them or not.
You don't.
Right, it's not going to happen.
They ain't playing with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm playing with you. All this conspiracy, gobbly, wobbly, goobly, goobly, doobly, you might as well get James Joyce and Marshall McLuhan to have a Senate subcommittee draw up papers regarding it. It ain't going to happen. It's not necessary. It's not required. It would be like Charlie, the sun-kissed tuna, with that hook coming down with a note on it, whether or not to bite or not. They're not interested. They're not. They're busy. They're so busy pleasing and delighting themselves, they're not noticing. They don't care what happens to your industry. They don't care what happens to your government. They don't care what happens to your reserve. They don't care. They have already had in control every electronic transfer in the world.
At Maybank, Kuala Lumpur.
They don't need your money checks. They don't need your natural resources. You see, the problem with socialism is that sooner or later you run out of other people's money.
Mm.
That's the problem. Now, that is a quote from Margaret Thatcher. We just love her, Thatcher, but we call her Thatcher. Just love that because that's right. That's reality. See, you've got a tiny little island that's supposedly running the world, and then you got a tiny little United Arab Emirates trying to take over the world, and then you got a tiny little this and a tiny little that, which is no more than a hangnail and you're talking about the not the People's Republic of China. We're talking about China. There's a difference. So,
Just so in case you didn't hear it, you talked about the control of all the economic transfers. That's at the Maybank in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Right. So I saw the movie 2012 a couple weeks ago, and it all leads to China. Like, that's the last safe place. Metaphorically, that would be wise to go that way, to China, because they're the only ones got any solidity for the turbulent times we live in.
Well, they're solid enough to keep Google out.
Yeah. So they
that ought to tell you something. If the Bushes and the Queen or United Kingdom and United Arab Emirates owns it all, why couldn't they have Google in China?
That's right.
And if they own the last teat of the big old sow starving to death, they seem to be controlling who gets to eat, you see.
You're saying if they own, mean China, if they own the...
Right.
If they own the sow, which they do, then they could what? They would be starving?
They'd be telling who got to suck where. And what he's saying is that everybody else is telling China what they're going to suck.
Right. And you get an indication of that power because Google can't get in there.
Well, how brilliant do you have to be to decipher this one out?
Well, I think people say, I haven't followed too much, but it's something like, well, China can't handle the openness of the internet, so they're going to keep the future away. Google represents the future.
Yeah, they're going to keep the future away. They've got the fastest computer. Everybody in the country, there's more computer going on in the country of China than there is the rest of the world put together. Yeah, they got a good control of it. Yeah, they sure do. Mm-hmm. They're going to keep it all contained. Yeah, that's what they're going to do. The point was that everybody that owned everything, the globalist, was telling China what they was and wasn't going to do.
Right, and then you bring up
what they were going to control and not going to control, and what they were going to build for China or not, and what they were going to force China into this less than place of servitude for the globalist and their surreptitious global direction for the new world order, blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm.
So, just continue the last part here.
And if China was smart, they'd sell the rest of them euros before it's too late.
Well, why would they be concerned?
Well, they don't have much regard for them, they would have already. Or that may be why the European Union is in such travail.
Because China won't sell them.
Or did
sell them.
You know, if you're strolling through Italy these days, you could buy more with lira than you could with euros lately.
Yeah. Okay, just finish up here.
These other nations jockeying for a position at the trough to be the, right now it's the G20, the top 20 nations that make 75 to 80% of the world's economic output.
Do the G20 nations make 75% of the world's output?
Output of what? Problems, disinformation, gobbledygook? Yeah, 100% of that, yeah. That these countries come together to decide who's going to whittle what? For Jiminy Crackpeak's sake, think about that just a little bit.
So
if they come together trying to figure out how to make their documents work so that the IMF can bail them out of their next last new big mess. So you get this all tangled up. Countries are not, their wealth basis should be on their gross domestic product. Well, if that's the case, start feeding yourself, and then you don't have to go around running around everybody else to see how they can feed you. It's nonsensical. If you tend to your garden, you don't have to go beg your neighbor's fruits and vegetables.
And you're saying China's tended its garden for the last 1,000 years.
Well, they ain't been showing up for the G20 or the G8 or the G7 or none of them. Although we love the China from them conferences, they're beautiful. JW just loves them China. They always make a new pattern. It's beautiful. He enjoys them thoroughly.
Okay, so the G20, they are, Bill's saying they do 75% of the industrial products. None of those computers they make are compared to the supercomputer China has, so it's all B-grade, C-grade materials that we claim are the majority of the products in the world. You're implying that better products are made in China?
Well, sure.
Mm.
Well, they're not talking about better. He's talking about percentage.
Yeah, the amount.
Percent.
I think most people would think that most of the products are in the world are made outside of China.
Well, what's made in London?
Nothing.
Well, exactly.
Everything is made in China.
So they make up 75%. They're part of the G8, so they make up 75%. Where you got, if you did it just on rice production alone, for Pete's sake, I mean, they don't even have food in London. They have to import the tandoori chicken. They didn't have foreigners bringing food in. It starved to death.
So it's lucky that the rest of the world, not China, is typing away. It's software, digital, Android meme, they call it, the digital landscape. This typing makes Americans and Europeans think that they got some wealth generation going on.
Well, yeah, well.
And
you can tweet till your twat gets sore, and then you're in trouble.
And that's where we've come to. Everybody's twat is sore. Okay, Ed, so that's China's move on gold. I guess I would say, did China, they had Orme, why did they engage in the B level of gold?
It was just fine.
And more of the government did that in China?
Nope, never, no.
So they have gold certificates. Do they have actual chunks of gold?
Oh, yeah.
They got the most in the world of the what we call the B-level gold?
Yes, by trice.
T-R-I-C-E. Okay.
They have, the Chinese have palace roofs made of gold.
Oh, and that's just where the 10-carat stuff, Ed.
Oh. I'm still trying to wrap my head around those box cars full of gold certificates.
Gold certificates.
Yep. There's lots and lots and lots. And silver certificates.
So we can thank Bill Deagle in this first excerpt that we learned a lot about China and gold, right, Ed?
Right.
Yes. Thank you, Bill.
Not from Bill. It evoked. His questions prompted Ion to clear up the issues.
Oh, well, in that case. Now, we keep going with this little message to Mr. Deagle. We love and appreciate you and do your continued good work. We look forward to your next coming about as you come into it. And you might talk with our good friend Chris Story at worldreport.bloggity-orgity-bliggity-blog. And y'all could talk. And you might find out that it really all was Leo Wanta's fault.
And call for a reading tomorrow.
Yeah. 808-633-4036. Okay, the next point from Bill is titled Magnetic Shifts and Iridium. Here we go.
We're going to see volcanoes increasing all over the place. We're going to see strange climate changes because the volcanism under the oceans.
We've been talking about that before they started blowing everywhere. When we said that everybody gauges that the big one is this, the only reason it's a big one is because their calculators, and we laughing callingly call them their Geiger counters, doesn't reach that high. The seismology reports that they use to gauge by. But now, used to, if you had a 4, 5, or 6 earthquake somewhere, that was a big deal. Now, that's nothing. It can't even keep Khalifa in her bed at night. It just keeps bouncing all over the place. All over the place. Now she's like, come on now, y'all quit this. Don't rest.
Yeah, where's that Sheila? Sheila's shaking the town up again.
Sheila's over there. They over there tearing it up from Saturday night. You know, it's like, okay, fine, here we go. So this is just nothing other than the repose or the response of the human creators coming into their power. And y'all better get used to this. Now, we're just telling you now, officially, you better get used to this. Because until you come into your power, then you might better consider the sunny side of life. Because if you don't, you might get caught in the dark and tumultuous storm.
Yeah, because that the rocks respond to humans. They respond intensely to the degree we ignore our power.
Yep.
Yeah. So he said vulcanizing. Does that mean anything to you, Ian?
Well, yeah, especially on Vulcan.
Okay, here we go.
It's increasing dramatically with a solar alignment.
Vulcanizing is increasing dramatically with solar alignment. Any facts there?
What does solar alignment mean? The Earth goes around the sun. It's aligned all the time. When is the Earth not aligned in its trajectory? Now, get Stephen Hawking. He's the one got the aliens going on. Maybe it's the aliens that worked out the details from Titan. Well, that's one. Oh, no, it ain't really a star. Wait, it's a moon. No, it ain't really. Oh, it's light. No, it's not. It's them hydrogen suckers. They suck all the hydrogen up that lines up the sun to get it all lined up. Think about what you're saying.
Okay, astrologer's note. Okay, next.
With the center of the sun and the center of the galaxy, which will increase Earth's volcanism.
This alignment will increase the Earth's volcanism.
Okay, so what he's saying is that as they go up to 2012, the Earth's sun is coming into alignment with the center of the Milky Way galaxy.
Okay.
You see that happening, Ion?
Do you have somebody play the little sound effects where the crowd roars and cheers if they've discovered something? Hey, Ed.
Yes.
They can't even find where this alignment is. They can't even get across the galaxy to see where what else is there. They can't even calculate how many stars there are in the sky. And now they're going to start telling about what's going on with another sun within the galaxy that they can line up.
Well,
they can't even decide whether Pluto is a planet or not.
They just checked the Mayan calendar.
Well, great. The Mayan calendar is pretty smart if they that long ago could figure it all out to the point that it could set up the scheduled rain turn of events that they're calling this cataclysmic eruption, this sebaceous cyst of the Earth that requires popping to let all the corruption get out.
Okay.
We just ain't having it.
What are you having?
Joy, peace, and power.
Okay.
Joy, peace, and power. Joy, peace, and power.
All right, next.
You tired of Los Angeles? Let it roll in the ocean. It's all right with us. We're good.
Okay, here we go.
We have the black hole at the center of the galaxy sending out a plasma jet, literally with white holes reconstituting matter.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Trigger. Hang on, Trigger. Wait a minute. Somebody better start singing Happy Trails, because now you've got black holes, and that, I guess he's trying to say that the quasar are the beginning of a new star. Well, or then he's talking about white holes. Isn't that the hamburger joint? No, that's White Castle. Sorry, that's the other one. Yeah, the little hamburgers, yeah. Now there's white holes that are activating these quasars in the center of the galaxy that's supposed to engulf it all. And that's what's causing this sucking lining up. Well, now, we were talking about sugar tits a long time ago. Is that what we're referring to here? Oh, okay. Well, never mind. That's
okay. Yeah. Okay, continuing.
And our stars. The stars are like a gear system electromagnetically that are locked on like the gears to our Earth.
Stars are like a gear system electromagnetic. You like that, Ion?
Only they don't know. He doesn't. He's speaking with great authority that he understands what magnetism is.
Mm. And you don't see any humans who understand that?
Not yet.
Okay.
Magnetic flux fields of the Earth are interlocked with that. Okay? And so as the flow, like oceans and rivers of magma, flow in a specific direction, they create a flux field that is the polarity of our planet. So our planet is created by the polarity of the movement of a vortex in a specific direction of oceans of magma moving in a specific direction and a certain torus.
Holy.
Okay, yes?
Bob, if we said that, you'd have us before the Hague in the world court.
That's right. A lot of
now think about what that's saying. That stinky goes downhill. Okay. If stinky don't go downhill, then your plumbing gets stopped up. They call it a riser diagram. Okay. Stinky goes downhill. So I guess the word of the day is that lava's going to flow down. Lava's not going to flow up. And that this supermagnetic conductivity from this flow, that now he's talking about magma flowing.
Yeah.
But now magma's still in the ground, because once it comes out of the ground, then it's lava. So he's talking about in one side, that where you're going to go when the volcano blows. Well, let me tell you, it's going to be one whale of a volcano if it spews magma and stays in magma form. Because then just about, guess what, journey to the center of the Earth may not be such a bad idea, because the way it's being laid out here with all this lining up, you just about, with the black hole and the white vortex and the singularity of the quaking quasar, it's going to zip you in and out of alignment from your magnetic pulse and field from this sun going to the next sun from the last sun. It's just about pretty much going to turn it inside out, or at the very least turn out church.
Okay, continuing.
That torus is going to change directions as we pass through the galactic plane.
Galactic plane, you know where that is, Ion?
Yeah, I guess that's called Eastern Airlines.
Or Air Oceania going to Lost?
Oh, yeah, but we were playing with the Eastern Airlines that went out of business a million years ago. They talk about the splitting of the eastern sky.
Yeah.
And with this alignment, you see, from the way this flow, that would put it from an easterly direction. So the eastern sky would be the one that got the first layout of this alignment. So I guess everybody on the eastern sky, that's the one that's going through the white, dark vortex, the sucking hole of the galaxy first. Okay, good. Now, just so we're clear.
Okay.
And as we do that, which happens every 3,600 some years, there are minor changes, and as we pass through it on specific alignments.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
You mean you get sucked off every 3,600 years?
Yeah, I think that's the point. The major.
Oh. we didn't mean to be cheeky, but we just want to. You've got to pinpoint what's being said here now.
Yeah.
This happens every 3,600 years.
We get a great suck off. Yeah.
Ooh.
Suck seed.
Yeah. Okay. We certainly didn't want to have to go through this again, so we just sort of take it as you know it, if you don't mind. If that's all right.
Yeah, here we go.
Those are greater, which is why it's three times that, or around 11,500 to 11,800 years, when we have a major collapse in the magnetosphere where there's a deposit of nanodiamonds on the Earth. Iridium, which is an interstellar...
Is iridium an interstellar mineral? I think you implied something like that.
Well, it is, but it's from old school, if you call it interstellar.
Mm.
They didn't even know what it was till just very recently, and now all of a sudden they know all everything there is to know about it. They don't know its properties. They don't know its molecular weight. They haven't given it an atomic number. They're just trying to get it in the scale. But it's been around from a long time in your future.
Yes, and so he's saying there's something significant about it here. Okay.
Mineral that's hundreds of thousands of times more common in space.
Is iridium 1,000 times more common in space than it is in the planet?
Everything is, Bob.
Okay.
What is space?
Space is the cells, our cells, the space between the parts in our cells.
No, I mean, When people are speaking of space, what do they mean space is?
Well, the spaces between ourselves are so huge once we transition.
I understand that, but that's not what we're talking about. They talk about, what was Captain Kirk talking about space, the final frontier? What was that?
Yeah, what was that? That was a projection of Newton and the printed book effect.
Exactly. They don't even have a clue what it is, and now he's telling how it's all going to work out when you don't even know. He's speaking about it in very definitive terms of this whole continuum that there ain't nobody seen, ain't nobody found, ain't nobody even going to send a telescope with a spaceship far enough to look to see what is. And they damn sure ain't measured the space between them two spaces. That's the whole trick of this point of theory of everything. They're counting space as a negative blackness, and it's not. Space is not a negative, nebulous, ethered void. It's not a void. They use this reference of galaxies contained in space as a void. It's not. It's all connected. It's all specific. It's all, well, it's not linear, but it's all lined up, meaning it's where it is. Now, just hold on a minute. We got to clean this up fast before somebody gets hurt.
Well, what is space made up of? What's its constituents in what you're describing?
Matter.
What is matter made up of?
The absence of antimatter.
Okay.
That's the junior high version, Bob, but you can't get to this dynamic. Are there molecules and molecular structure to space? And we say yes. Has to be. Otherwise, you couldn't sustain these fields that he's speaking of without that space to be contained within.
Mm.
Now, wait a minute. That's a mouthful. That started to sound like him. We better clean that up a bit. In your lungs, there's space. Now, that space defines the cilia within your lungs. So it has a magnificent purpose of being because it holds the cilia in your lungs in place and is constantly moving, constantly changing, constantly going in and out, constantly bringing in oxygen and giving off carbon dioxide, constantly in a status of flux, and yet it still is, okay? So if you could look at it that way to find out what space is, then all of a sudden you'd have a way different dynamic of trying to pinpoint these quasars that they're trying to say is the white hole of the black hole of the something, something, something. Whoa.
Yeah, okay, we better move on.
Do you have a question yet?
Iridium.
So you'll see a layer of iridium, and you'll see carbon. And you can see that in the geological record all over the Earth. Plus, you'll see these magnetic flux shifts, so that even if a volcano is releasing magma, the ferrite, or iron, in the deposits reverse polarity on that 11,500 to 800-year cycle. So you can see that over and over again through the Earth, that those patterns are recorded right in the rocks themselves.
Patterns recorded in the rocks, Ion?
Lord have mercy. Yeah, is it rocks or magma? See, we're still talking about magma.
Mm.
Well, it's not magma anymore. So the point of this magnetism, that the natural polarity, even magnetism has changed. That's why you have magnetic north and true north that you've noticed are the differential. But you could take two rocks, but they can't even tell how old these rocks are. So it gets kind of very interesting when you start gauging what the rock has to say by how much iron is in the iron content that's in the rock itself of its polarity. So what he's saying is that electromagnets that they use in the junkyards will start repelling iron rather than holding it.
Yes.
Well, He didn't seem to say that, but basically that's what he's describing, is it not? That all magnets are going to be repelling, rather they're going to shift their polarity.
Hmm. You don't see that happening.
Well, flip far no.
Okay.
Because you understand when you change that now, you have just now exited gravity.
Do people...
Well, and I guess that's why there's so much morbid obesity. It's because there's not going to be any gravity. So, Ed, you better beef it up a little bit. You're going to be floating away if you don't get you a couple of 4 or 5 stone overweight. You're going to have to get you some of that gravy and some of them preserves and things to sort of fatten up a little bit, or you'll be floating away. Yeah, grits and gravy.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm going to make a statement. What happened to Atlantis will happen to Japan.
I think we did this last time, Ed. We don't know when. Atlantis hasn't happened yet, according to Ion, but Bill's saying Atlantis happened, and what crashed there is going to happen to Japan.
Maybe the better way to say it then is what happened to Japan is what's going to happen to Atlantis.
Okay, that's more accurate.
Well, no, but it sure is a lot of fun.
Yeah, nothing's going to happen to Japan. Is it going to suffer the earth changes?
Well, lots of places are, Bob.
Yeah, is Japan especially vulnerable?
No.
Okay, good. Walter Boward used to say the major quakes were coming to Tokyo. Okay.
Well, that's not new. That's not new.
Well, major destruction.
That's not new either.
Okay.
You humans, y'all like to tear things up. You work and work and work and build something up, and then you plow it up and build it again. You build on the sand and then wonder why you don't have a firm foundation on the earth. And it washes off in the sea, and you go, oh, my. They said something about mudslides in California one time, but I don't hold much stock in it. So I'm going to get the most vulnerable tip of the highest mountain on the most liquefiable soil and build my great big old Mac mansion in the sky.
That historical pattern of us blowing things up, destroying things after we make them, the archetypal symbol now is 911. Built these two huge towers and then we blew them up.
I don't know why do you bother calling some place paradise if you constantly kiss it goodbye.
Right, and we do that.
Daily.
And the four daily, because I was just going to say the four horsemen of the apocalypse, they show up every day.
Pretty much.
Right.
What's the apocalypse?
Thinning of the veil.
There you go, Spurts fans. By Jove, I think you're getting to it now.
Okay, so just finishing up here.
They know this is part of their global consciousness. What happened, and I'm going to repeat that so people get it if they're listening in Japan. What happened to Atlantis will soon happen to Japan.
The Japanese are shivering.
And we'd hoped for so much more.
Well, that's a pretty good blow up. People like to be wiped out.
Well,
so it just, unfortunately, it's not going to happen to Japan because Atlantis hasn't happened yet.
So everybody cash in them yen before it's too late.
Okay, the next topic is solar mass ejections. Does that mean anything, that phrase? Solar mass ejections. Does that mean anything to you, Ion?
Well, ejaculations are always pleasant.
Right, but solar mass ejections. Such a...
solar mass ejections. Now, think about what you're talking about. Are you talking about gamma radiation? Are you talking about burst? Are you talking about tachyon fields? Are you talking about the radiation, the ambient radiation that is the burning of a star, a little star known as your sun? Solar mass ejections. That's what happens when the sun comes up and many humans are engaging in coitus.
Okay, so that may not be what Bill said. That might just be Ed's summary, but we'll hear. Here we go. This is
we like ours better with mass ejaculation. That's better.
Okay.
How does Siamese that seem to be a big threat in their at least with solar cycle 24 or so we heard?
Well, yeah, there's an increased risk of solar mass ejections, but even if your magnetic field's down and you just have sunspots, you don't even have a kill shot. just a sunspot with very low magnetic field will cause the grid to disappear, and anything electronic like integrated circuits, if you're in the wrong place in the Earth when there's a sunspot and you're turned toward the sun, you could have just a sunspot itself could blast out electronics that are delicate on satellites. So you don't have to have a kill shot from solar mass ejection, although solar cycle 24 was already supposed to start gearing up, and it hasn't, which means there's a delay. And they think there's an increased risk that the solar peak of 24, even though it's delayed, will be greater than expected, and probably greater than we've seen in probably 150-plus years, which means that we're likely to get a solar mass ejection. And these quiet times often precede major solar storms and major sunspots, which we're starting to see, and a solar mass ejection as we head toward 2013. The report I have from my regular sources from power companies and from classified is that the grid isn't going to survive 2013. That's, I guess, the summary. In other words, unless they put what's called surge protectors, which...
Okay, Ian, this sounds like what you say, the EMP is going to come from major solar flares.
Yes, but Bob, how much electronics did they have 150 years ago?
And why do you bring that up?
Because that's what his point is. This happens every 150 years.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Okay, so it happens every 150 years.
Well, how much electronics did you have 150 years ago?
Not many.
Anywhere.
All right, so now
it's... And then the grid's gone. Don't tell Southern Company. That's not going to be very fruitful for them. All right? And somebody better get hooked up quick on your coal fusion. I guess this would knock out that, too. So, might be pretty interesting. It sounds pretty gloom and doom if you listen pretty close. Because after about 2.3 seconds, you might as well get a 357 Magnum and blow your brains out. It certainly would be much more relief than what you're getting presented here.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. You are saying that EMP is coming and part of the cause.
Yeah, and that's not a problem, though. It's not going to zap you into such a place where you are run out of your physical beingness.
So you're saying it'll be okay, it'll be useful that our chip landscape is knocked out.
If you are in your power, you won't require a chip body for your livelihood.
Right. So since they've happened every 150 years, it's not a big deal to happen again, but we do have this chip landscape that is vulnerable, and you're saying take your own power, that's not an issue. But if you thought you were dependent on the chip landscape, then you'd blow your brains out.
Well, sure, it'd be a lot more relief than going through all that. Then you got countries. Now, we tricked you, Bob. We asked you about certain countries of what they produce, and you said nothing. Well, if they are producing nothing and all your chips are gone, you may better get like Ed and start raising you some of them great big old heirloom tomatoes. Because it might come in handy. But see, even that doesn't matter, because if you come into your place of power, this will be no different than you have a thunder shower, or you have a little dry spell, or you have a really hot sunny day, or you have a little frost on the pumpkins. That's about as significant as what's being described. They're just using this means of communication to superimpose all this gaga business of this gloom, doom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it wasn't for bad luck, they'd be need no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. That's what the theme of this seems to be running through. And we're saying congratulations. If that's not a good enough a reason to consider the possibility of you, individual human creators, coming into your place of power, or get you a great big old towel to cry into, because the tears will flow.
Right. So here's Bill saying that this will be devastating on people and tragic, whereas you're saying no. Take your power, and it'll be an opportunity of a new kind of experience.
Hey, let's just call y'all ascended globalists, and then it shouldn't be a problem.
Okay, so finishing up this.
Sorry, I didn't mean to mix the spirits there, but we couldn't resist.
Sorry.
Larry Joseph has found the same thing out from his sources, his book 2012. unless we put surge protectors on all the grids across the world, the grid isn't going to survive.
Right. So he sees that as a negative thing, that the grid is going to not survive. That's where you're objecting.
But people have been bitching about the grid since they put everybody on the grid.
Yeah, that's right.
He's talking about the electric grid.
Yeah.
There's another grid that's also realigning, and that grid has to do with the individual humans and their place of power. See, we said this and said this and said this, so I guess we'll say it one more time. Human creators have got more power in their fingernail clippings than is used in the global economy daily, every day. And so you're making this big hoo-to-doo that pork bellies is going to get sold that people can't even afford side meat anymore. And what we're saying is that them sows is going to have piglets and the bacon is going to be profound, whether you know it or not or like it or not. But now it could poison the bacon so you can't eat it. But if you come into your place of power, you'll still be living high on the hog.
Okay, finishing up here.
Not only 2013, but the move to green power where people have solar generators on their roof and wind power generators because they'll be putting surges on the line and the grid won't be able to tolerate those surges without blowing the grid.
So you all for the use of solar generators and wind power?
We'll have to disconnect this call now because JW just has a pining to start unplugging everything. It'll take him about a week to get everything unplugged. And there's some things he's got plugged up that he don't even know where they plug up to because it's quite an automated little system. So it may just have to disconnect from the whole thing before it's too late.
Right, so he's squirming in, you know, inside Ion, so to speak, at this information coming into his being from Bill.
Well, maybe the answer is plug more stuff in so when the big pulse comes, you'll have enough lines to run through your house, through your casa, that it'll displace it all. Or maybe if you drop great big copper rods in your ground, then that'll cause an earthquake or the magma to run up to that copper from this huge, vast capacity of electric energy pulsing that's going to run you out of your place. Oh, and you better take mirrors out of the equation because they reflect things. And if it collected that energy and reflected it, oh, my. Why couldn't everybody just take their compacts out of their pocketbooks and point it toward the sun? Wouldn't that blow the sun up?
Ed liked that one. Okay, we're moving to the next topic, April 14th, 2010. All of those ones we've just done were November 15th, 2009. Now, recently, April 14th, Bill Deagle was interviewed by, and so here's Bill Ryan talking to Bill Deagle about the pole shift.
It's going to occur at some point in the next, I think, 5-6 years. We're going to see a crustal slip that will move the axis of the North Pole towards Siberia. And from what I've been reading and analyzing, I'm estimating it's going to move about 1,200 miles towards Siberia, which means northern hemisphere, North America, Canada, the U.S., Canada will occupy the geographical position of the United States, and the United States will occupy the geographical position of Mexico and Central America.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, okay.
It's also going to angle them so that the actual angular positions of the continents are going to move. Plus, there'll be some areas because of this, and I have a FEMA documents. This is another piece from John Moore.
Documents from John Moore. You know anything about John Moore?
And our question would then be, okay, what's the problem?
Okay.
So if there's a shift, does that mean that you better get some pesos because North America's going to Mexico, and then the Canadian dollar, they should get U.S. dollars. Well, they're doing pretty good. Wait a minute now. So what does this do to Iceland, and what does this do to, I guess, Sarah Palin's house? Would that put her pretty close to the equator? And would she still be able to see Russia from her back door?
we've got our sources that actually are sending us the actual documents, 400 pages, that the federal government's known for 25 years, and FEMA, and the U.S. Navy, et cetera, and all these letter agencies, they've known there's going to be major, within like a month or two, a couple months, major rises in sea levels and coastal areas, and it's going to be caused by the movement of the continents at a what I call a drift pace, which I talk about, like a 1.6 miles per hour, which in 2 months would move North America 1,200 miles.
FEMA...
Now, wait a second. Either the Earth's going to shift, now the tectonic plates are going to shift, and that shift, well, why can't the tectonic plates shift the same way that the Earth's shifting and nobody know the difference?
Yeah, and do FEMA, the Navy, NSA, and those entities, letter agencies he calls them, are they... planning to deal with this pole shift? They see it coming. He says this is going to happen, and they know it because John Moore told Bill Deagle or wrote something.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that 25 years ago, that we don't know that, but that would have put Mr. Reagan in the White House.
Yeah.
Well, if Mr. Reagan had been well aware of that, don't you think that he would have asked the psychic, or no, wait, his wife would have asked the psychic or the tarot readers to tell him about how to make these corrective adjustments then, back when everybody was fat?
Yeah, they might have.
Well.
And if they had, then they would have what? Done what?
We have no living clue. That's the point. If they'd have had that information based on somebody's 400 pieces of paper, then you know, we shouldn't have survived the Y2K either.
So do you know what this John Moore is doing? Is he a person that has created this document for the purpose of misinforming Bill?
Well, I mean, it's go on your blog, Bob. They'll tell you how to handle wordy words. They'll straighten you out right quick on them wordy words. Facts. And you can be quite statically in your degree or level of tactility, but if it's saying at the end of the day, you still gain your place of power or not. That's the point.
And just for the record, he said phatically, phatically.
Yeah.
Phatic, look that up. We don't have to worry about this pole shift if we got enough gratitude.
Hey, Carolyn, just get a party. Yep.
If we have enough gratitude, we can handle the pole shift, right?
Well, yes, but that's a good place. But you better find out what relax means, and you better find out what allow means, and you better come into your place of power. Just so you know, no more free poker. You're going to have to get with this now. You've thinned the veil. You've ushered in this place of power. You've set this into motion. So now get on with it.
Okay, so you do not see the continents moving like this, as Bill said?
Oh, let's make it 10 miles an hour. Make it 100 miles an hour. Make it 1,000 miles an hour. Because you don't know how long an hour is, and you don't know how far a mile is. So that's perfectly all right with us. Make it a quadrillion miles an hour. It's moving so fast that you can't even feel the movement. And the EMPs done knocked you out of your senses. You ain't got no sense no more. And you're floating around because you've also gotten rid of the sunspots. The sunspots have blotted out your mind. Well, that serves you well. So now all you're down is a little amoeba with power, and an amoeba with power is better than a full-blown creator in their soddiness of less than-ness. Good. That's a good way. That's good.
That's good. That's good.
And that'll be within 5 or 6 years. So everybody knows. Pack your bags. It's back to the flour mill, Pappy.
Okay, continuing.
And what that'll do is, because of the bulge of the Earth, so there's areas that are they're going to be elevated, and there's other areas that are going to sink.
So that's rather conservative compared to your vision, Ion.
Yeah, especially moving at a quadrillion miles an hour.
Yeah, so...
But it's very profound that things are going to rise and things are going to sink. That's profound.
Right, now, you say Atlantis hasn't happened, and but there are structures found around Bimini, and other scholars find Atlantis somewhere else. Were there civilizations under the water in Bimini that weren't Atlantis, but were
not
there?
When they were underwater, no.
No, were they were above water. Yeah. Where we see underwater buildings, remnants, were there civilizations there?
Sure, Cleopatra's palace in Alexandria is underwater, right there, right now.
All right, but so if we don't call the area around Bimini Atlantis, then we can say that area was a civilization above ground a while ago.
Right. Well, just like you could say that where the Temple Mount is in Jerusalem is also the Church of the Rock. They're both inhabiting the same space, are they not?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that's an anomaly. Can't do that. How can you have the Temple Mount and the Dome of the Rock in the same address?
Okay, so, but back... Beg your pardon?
Doesn't seem to work out, does it?
Right. So, what is it that you're calling Atlantis that hasn't happened yet?
It's a city that Homer wrote about.
And Homer, parallel, he traveled to see it?
Yes.
Okay, so what is special about this city? It's because he wrote about it that we have it as a meme.
Correct. And it's just basically, they also spoke of mansions in the sky too, Bob.
Right. It's in the historical literate record, they say Plato is maybe one of the first to mention Atlantis. I'm not aware of Homer mentioning
it. They talked.
Plato and Homer talked?
Yeah.
Even though they positioned them as 400 years apart, they talked through...
Well,
were they experiencing the same...
3 years old with 1,500 years worth of history in the middle of it, too.
So. I'm sorry, I drowned out your statistic. Could you say that again?
Yes, because... They also speak of Jesus being 33 years old, and it covers 1,560 years of history. And the 33 years, the same ones that say that it was 400 years between Homer and your Socrates and through your other literacy benevolent levers.
All right, so are you saying that Plato and Homer were in the physical body at the same time under the various same emperors?
They were, because they had the capacity to travel.
Yeah, now do you mean parallel world traveling?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But but the people around Homer did not experience, they could not have experienced Plato at the same time if they were not parallel worlders.
Correct, but if you look at their works, many reference each other.
Right. Okay, so...
They write, but that's significant.
Yeah, but Plato is seen to be, 350 or so B.C., Homer 800 B.C., something like that. Is there a span of 500 years between them in the physical for those that can't parallel world travel?
Not to us, but yeah, you can count it. Maybe it was in dog years, but yeah.
But if Plato wanted to... since he was so many years later from Homer, if he wanted to understand Homer, it was best he parallel world and meet him.
Yeah.
Okay. So because they mentioned Atlantis, then that meme is there. There's nothing special about Atlantis.
Right.
So why couldn't it refer to any civilization that was above the water in our past geologically?
Some say that if you place those points of exactly right with La Belle's lady, that it refers to Manhattan.
When you look at what points? What are you referring to?
From Socrates' version of what Atlantis was, if you talk about La Belle's lady with the way that it's gauged and the way it's laid out, you would basically be describing Manhattan.
Right, the Lavallee's lady is the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Lavallee's the one who made it or designed it, even though he got ripped off, and that's a whole other story. So it's just that there were... People like to talk about Atlantis to show that there were structures in the underneath the ocean that were above the ocean. And they refer to Atlantis because that was the literate name that came through, the name of literate within literate products. But when you say Atlantis is something in the future, that's the Atlantis that Homer and Plato are talking about?
It is.
Is there something unique about it?
No.
It's just that there is a place in our future that will be called Atlantis for whatever reason it's named Atlantis.
Sure.
And where will it show?
There's a casino down in Bahamas right now called that.
Right. But you're referring to an island or a geological space when you say Atlantis is in the future?
Yes. Yeah.
And where will it be when it shows up here?
Off Bimini.
Oh, okay. So, yes, they do say, taking Edgar Casey's or Q, that Atlantis was there.
No, Nostradamus is Q.
Right, but you're saying, well, if you want to call it Atlantis, that refers to something specific, and that will be Bimini, but it hasn't happened yet. So what do we see at Bimini? What remnants? We do see something there.
What do you mean remnants?
Whatever. There's books.
Remnants of something that hadn't been built yet.
No, there is little squares in that. There's several books written on it.
What does that have to do with that?
Well, whatever they're looking.
That doesn't have anything to do with what Atlantis is. There's lots of rocks and stones and little curves and little arcs and little things under the ocean. Yeah, already, right now.
And where did they come from?
Well, where does all that stuff come from, Bob?
Where? Are they man-made?
Many are.
Okay. So you have these man-made artifacts scattered about the ocean floor from previous civilizations.
Yeah.
The ones that are in Bimini right now are not from Atlantis.
Correct.
Right. But Atlantis will show up there.
Gee, pretty close to that. Notice this fun play with this word. It's a new word. This word's never been said before. It's a new word. It's called triangulation.
Yes, we actually talked about that last night for the first time.
And triangulation, that has to do with where it's located. It's called the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just so we're clear there.
So watch future commentaries on triangulation by ION to fill out what you've just said. That's
good.
Pretty cool.
When that comes along, you probably see the Dow Jones at about 94.15.
When Atlantis comes along.
Oh, no, long before that. We talked about in a week or so.
Okay, you said what, Carol? The polar shift in 5 or 6 years. So you didn't qualify what you're referring to. You said when that comes along. What are you referring to?
Oh, we're just trying to make a point that the Dow Jones is going to correct itself. You got to give something to have some meat to this. Otherwise, people are just laughing so hard they fall out of the chair. Now, we want to thank all of our listeners for participating in this show. Now, anybody that just had pretty major or minor surgery, please leave this alone. Don't get involved. Let it be. You will slip a stitch. Don't do it. Please do not imbibe in great quantities of brown party liquor. It may skew your sense of perception. Please be safe and soft on all of your hard narcotics and leave all the Schedule Ones when you're enjoying this show that Ed has very graciously put together and allowed us to be a participant in. We appreciate it more than you know. But just be easy in your body because it could throw you a loop, and you want to be real grounded when you start laughing as hard as you would be caused to be retching from the laughter from your wordy words.
So you just dropped in that, you know, but a week or so the stock market will be at 94.15.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the point in knowing that? There is no money in the world, so what's the point?
Oh, they still count, and you got to get your money checks ready to pay for all this correction from the world spinning at a quadrillion miles an hour. You got to buy a lot of gas. Oh, wait, no, sorry, we got that took care of. You got to get a real close place to the Gulf of Mexico so you can catch up all that oil. So that's good.
So ION, was the recalling of the shuttle back to the planet, did that have anything to do with the pulse?
Of course.
With the what, Ed? The pulse? What's the word?
With the EMP.
Oh, the EMP last week.
Yes.
Yeah.
And is that because of the electronics on the shuttle or because of the communications between Earth and the shuttle?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay.
And also, everybody that's listening, that hears this, over the last weeks, as you go weeks, many people are having issues with their cellular service. Even your Apple seller has trouble with his brand new things of not being able to get on the internet. What's happening is these networks are noticing they're having to reboot. Now, that's all done pretty quickly, but what you find is you're bumping into your cellular service, or if you call a number, a cell-to-cell call, and they say, I'm sorry, the number you called has been temporarily disconnected. No, just dial back again. It's not that at all. It's just that your triangulation has been, one of the towers is down, that they have to reboot. Sometimes it's large areas, sometimes it's single carrier, sometimes especially, well, nobody really roams anymore, but the signals do. So in that place, if you find less and less conductivity in the number of bars that you have, that has to do with them resetting the cellular towers, because especially some of those they have to reset one by one by one. But say like in Chicago, they can reset them all just by hitting reset. But some of the further out ones, you're going to notice breakage of conductivity. So don't depend on your cell phone for life or death. But if it's just a backup, well, all you do is tweet on that thing anyway, so that's all right. You need to knock yourself out. Text will do just fine because they'll hold till somebody else gets them anyhow, so that's not a problem. But just don't hold a lot of stock in that service, just so you know.
And does the how does the EMP affect the human beings?
Oh, well, if you, now is that human beings in your power or human beings less than? Which ones?
Well, let's say both, how it would affect their body and their being.
It'll energize someone coming into their place of power. It'll energize.
So now, it might be more fun than a roller coaster ride.
Oh, way more fun. Oh, yeah. Way more fun. But you experience that already anyway, Ed. Even your physical body, you already feel that. You already notice the changes within you. You're already picking up on those differences. This place of energy that you come into and you're going, wow, where did all this come from kind of business. You already are feeling that.
It's great
it's
fun.
Showing up in your garden. It's showing up in your garden. Is, you know, can't, or as you jokingly say, nobody can grow weeds as good as I can.
Yeah, I notice my bars, like on the cell phone, my human body bars are getting larger. There's more bars.
Yeah. That's exactly correct. And so therefore, and just because you have more bars, that doesn't make it more clear. It doesn't make it more loud. But it just makes you more connectable to this power that flows that is you. So that's exactly right. Now, people, individual humans coming in. Now, we're talking about the ones in power and coming into their power. Now, they're going to notice, like you get off, and let's say you're a truck driver, and you're making time like you ain't supposed to be able to make, and your days and nights is kind of mixed up already anyway. Let's say you are over the road, long haul, LTR, long haul rider. What you're going to find and notice is that you will start dropping weight, eating less, and finding yourself less hungry. But now you notice that because we told you that's what to do. But now the flip side of that same coin is that's not a problem. But if you make a rule and I got to eat at 12:01 and I'm less than if I don't, then you're not going to make it because you can't keep up with that schedule. But if you can get easy with it, then it can come, like you're talking about, more bars, more power, more flow. because you single-handedly eliminated all them rules and the regulations, you see. You know, and if you have a beast that you love and that you take care of and that takes care of you, that you interact with, that you start making contracts and things with, we don't quite get that. But let's say you love a beast and the beast loves you, you'll notice that beast will have different feeling places, emotions, as they are connected to you. You'll notice that, and that'll be your sign. There's your sign, Bob. You'll have a sign that process is taking place. Now, another thing that'll come along is that you will find a place of peace. That means peace that passeth understanding. When you get to that place, when it's rocking and reeling and rolling, and you decide rather than run for the hills, just have an Avon party, that's great fun. Have a party. When that's the case, look forward to it. What to expect when you're expecting. It's great because you're going to be going a quadrillion miles an hour and, you know, fasten your seatbelts. It's okay. And people in Arizona, maybe that's why they're having such alien problems, is because they know they're fixing to be in beachfront property anyway. So, good. That's all right.
I'm down to like 2 and 3 hours sleep a night. That's me feeling this energy, right?
Right.
Right.
No, it's because you took the Marshall McLuhan enema, Bob. That's right.
No, McLuhan makes more sense now.
Well, that's right. But now you don't worry. Everybody that's again that McLuhan business, don't bother with that. Don't bother with it. But just know, until you decide to actually really engage it, you don't really have an opinion regarding it now, do you?
So I could, if I forget the clock, I could go from this point till whenever, 3 days from now.
I could finish
that 24 seasons backlog in three days.
That's exactly what we were talking about when he was talking about this Senate subcommittee,
yes,
of the 24 or whatever. We were going to suggest, Bob, that you call Kiefer Sutherland and get Jack Bauer on the scene and bring Allison Taylor in and get CPU to take out the EMP so that they can all be JBA, and then when the JBA gets to be the CDC, then they'll have a succession. But then you find, if you watch that just a little bit from the 24, do you find that it's just one big tore up mess that you fix up, that you tear up, that you fix up, that you tear up, and at the end of the day, Jack Byers gonna screw it up, shoot it up, die, come back, fix it, and land on his feet. Been shot up, stitched up, puffed up, blowed up, been everything he could be to the up. And he'd still say, well, you know how I work. You know how I work. This is the way I play. I know what to do. I will handle it. I will take care of it.
I'm going dark. I'm going to go dark.
Yeah, I'm going dark. I'll be in the stealth mode. And it's just great, great fun. Because, see, in that place of power, you don't get too concerned. We say this and we soften this up a little bit because we've been cheeky and it's been great fun and we do enjoy it tremendously. When you get yourself in a place when the cares of life start growing strangely dim, then you know you're on the right path. And then you don't have to spend all day and all night trying to figure out the next, last, next, biggest, baddest, worstest, bestest, neatest, lostest, noostest, nostest. Oh, Lord, here comes James Joyce. Fasten your ibbly, bibbly, scribbly, bob, bibbly, doo, bobbly, boo, dee, la, bo, bo, dee. You get any kind of flows, and then that makes about as much sense as what you engage in on your world news now.
Yeah. where were you? Ed, 24. Oh, yeah.
Allison Taylor. Get her on the ballot quick before it's too late.
Yeah, I was telling Carol today that 24 show is basically a cartoon.
Yeah. Exactly. And then they make fun of the Cartoon Network's version of Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
That starts to sound real logical if you listen a little while.
For the listeners, that's Ion getting some jazz with tea for Ion. That sound was Ion getting some jasmine tea for the body of JW.
Oh, it keeps it, yeah, and JW just can't stand the stuff, but we just love it.
Okay, carry on. I interrupted.
Keeps his throat wet. You know it's the end of days. You know it's when time on earth shall be no more. When Rush Limbaugh and his fourth wife go down the aisle and they pay vast money checks to Elton John to come and play at their private wedding. Rush ain't too keen on men folks that sleeps with men folks, if you do recall.
Yeah.
Elton John ain't too kind and compassionate with those that don't support the rights of the homosexuals.
But when there's no money,
they don't go to the same dinner parties, if you know what I mean.
Right. I didn't even know this happened, but assuming it did. So when there's no money, then John will show up at Rush Limbaugh's scene.
Yeah, for some money checks.
And Rush had a problem last Christmas over here in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Financially.
Yeah.
Was it Fidelity? I think it was Fidelity, yeah.
Now, don't go telling his private business. It ain't none of your business.
I'm just sticking in there. So his intern rushes and says, hey, those guys over in Hawaii, you know everything about us. You ought to have a reading with them.
Well, all is well and getting weller. It's just fine. They may find it more fruitful not knowing, Bob. That's how they've been running their shows for all these years.
That's right, winging it. That works better nowadays. Okay, so the next topic... Thank you, Ion, so far.
Good, we ain't said nothing, but we've had a big time.
Vandenberg, KCA, California, is where the real U.S. space program is located. This is a summary of what Bill Deagle's saying. Chandra X-ray telescope, another topic. Solar cycle 24, most active sun cycle in recorded history. Solar cycle number 24. And Planet X, the dwarf star. So let's hear the audio.
People should know from my reports over the last 11 years, both the Prophecy Club and my show and other conferences, that the top world main space program for planet Earth and for America is at Vandenberg.
Would you agree with that? The top space program for America is at Vandenberg, California?
Well, you got to figure out top, and you got to figure out space, and you got to figure out program. Does that mean that the folks that have the most space between their ears live there? Okay, probably. That'd be all right. No, there's nothing there that's significant regarding what you call, or maybe this is where the globalists go to space. Now, that may be something to that, but no, there's just not much there.
Okay.
Vandenberg is where the real space program is, not the Tinker Toy one that's on the East Coast. Okay?
Okay.
That's the real space program with the TR-3B, which is out of China Lake and other places, where a lot of these other things, the real research is occurring in California.
Just stop. What is the real space program? And if they're plugged in and know that you're going to be going 27,000 billion miles an hour, that why would you have the real world space program in an area that's going to be 4,000 feet in the sea?
Touche, Ion.
Well, I mean, wouldn't they move it to this up to Nova Scotia to higher ground?
No, that's where Bill Deagle's from. He ain't having it up there.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I mean, but you know, if you knew this, if you're this enlightened, if you're in the know as a good globalist, wouldn't you move it to where it's going to be safe and sound? If these are the words that you now are saying is, wouldn't it be a logical progression? Well, we really didn't know better. We just knew all we knew, and that's where it is. We have documents and proof, and we also have documents and proof that it's going to be over soon. So, well, you know what? They better get that program going and start shooting them to the moon right quick. Oh, no, sorry. It's not the moon. It's a dwarf star. No, it's really a moon of Saturn. No, wait. And they're eating all the hydrogen. Wait, no, it's this. No, that. Lord have mercy. You know, it gets to be kind of confounding if he's got to figure out all this gobbledygook. One side, they're lost and undone. The next side, this is where everything that is. Well, if you're smart enough to know all that, wouldn't you be smart enough to move where it's safe?
You're right. Then there's the... Okay, carry on.
Most of the science and the scientists that are behind the Real Space Program are based in California.
Okay.
Now, of course, so that's why it's tied into JPL. The mission will survey the entire sky in infrared wavelengths, creating a cosmic clearinghouse of hundreds of millions of objects. Now, the objects, interesting. Everything from most luminous galaxies to near stars to dark and potentially hazardous asteroids.
Thank you. This asteroid is a safe asteroid. Now, this one potentially is a, or this one's a potentially dangerous asteroid. Potentially dangerous asteroid. And this, Ed, clean us up just a little bit here. What?
The idea of a dwarf star coming in is that it would spin off these asteroids that will come into these planets in our solar system and cause great havoc. So this is a concern for the Earth. And this week there was news that an asteroid had hit the surface of Jupiter, and I believe it came off of this dwarf star.
Well, I guess if you're going a quadrillion miles an hour and the tectonic plates is ripping so, and now magma is going to become lava and lava is going to become magma, I don't expect it'll make that much difference to you. I mean, really, if you get right down to the grits and the gravy of it, this does not make any logical horse sense. Now, and I'm sorry, we're just trying to be kind as we can be. Really, really, we are. We promise we are, because human creators can do, be, or have anything they want to be. That includes delusional. Well, it's delicious and it's wonderful, but y'all make fun of folks when they do it on the Lucky Box. You make fun of it. It becomes just brash comedic value. You see, I mean, Bill Maher would tear this up.
Mm-hmm. No, we just Ed, Bill. I don't know if you ever met Bill Beagle, Carol.
Well, yeah.
Where'd you meet him?
But
she's met him, but he's interviewed her a couple times on his show. And then we found out that he was talking this stuff last November.
And it's perfectly all right, but if you're going to talk this stuff, at least, Lord Suffering Cats, connect the dots. Either it's over or it ain't. And if it ain't, don't worry about it. If it is, don't talk about it. Enjoy what few minutes you've got left. I mean, it just goes from, no wonder that they come into the scriptures and people don't embrace the scriptures. They don't know what they mean, and if they could leave the dogma out of it, it would be much more pleasurable. But they talk about these wars and rumors of wars. Well, great, but honey, Armageddon ain't going to have a change when the asteroids start blasting you, but it ain't going to matter because you're going to be in South America when they hit North America, and your compasses ain't going to work, and I guess the GPSs are screwed, so you ain't going to know where you are, and you ain't going to know where you're going, and you certainly won't know if you're 4,000 feet in the sea or not. It's okay, maybe Seagate may have a change.
Okay.
But it's just not logical. That's the point.
Okay.
It's just not logical.
Okay, next.
So what they're saying is they're launching this because they're looking for something.
Right.
And they know they got to look in the infrared wavelengths to see, and they're also going to do, and if people Google this, if they go to my website, Clay and Iron, because it says totally searchable, just type in Chandra, Chandra, like the Indian name,
yep.
Chandra. And if they go to clayandiron.com, they're going to pull up the actual reports of the Chandra X-ray telescope that reports this object coming in the inner solar system between Jupiter and the sun. That's a fact. The same as the SOHO. Is showing strange sun activity.
Is it true there is a Chandra X-ray telescope, Ion?
Oh, they've just everything under the sun on Google, except in China.
Right, so he got this document off of Google.
Well, that's what he said. If you go to Google and you put in Chandra, it'll show you the pictures. But he's making this world report like it's some big thing. There's also naked people on Google too, Bob.
Yeah, so what he's saying, Chandra X-ray telescope's picking up, you don't see happening.
Well, they just show little pictures of this, and they show pictures of pictures, and they show this, and this begets that, and A plus B equals C squared. It's going to be over soon. See? I told you. See? 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 It's, oh, hey, this is documented. It's on the Internet.
Okay, next.
That's what they say. I'm not a solar scientist. I'm just reporting and putting all these pieces together like a mathematician is assembling pieces on a board and trying to draw equations and say if this corollary is true, if this observation is true, is what I see coming.
Yes.
The thing that I think is criminal is that both the scientists and the politicians are not telling the public, because if you were to know, for example, with a certain percentage of probability that a solar pole, that a solar activity would create a pole shift, which would cause a break-off of a major section of the Mauna Loa supervolcano in Hawaii that would cause a tsunami to strike California with a wall of water traveling at Mach 1 at half a mile high, I think it would be criminal not to tell those people to get out of the way. I think that knowing that the kill zone of superquakes and super tsunamis, for example, this big earthquake that struck in the Baja, they know very well that this is releasing energy and will cause four afterquakes all the way along the San Andreas Fault. Now, I've mentioned this in previous shows, and I don't know what year it is, but I know in an April or May time period, the spring time period, sometime in the next, say, 3 to 4 years, there's going to be a quake strike Northern California. Take this stuff together, challenge it, prove it's not true.
Yeah.
But the fact is it is true. We do know that there's an object. It's called Nemesis is the best term for it.
Ion, is there some major earthquakes coming to Northern California next 2 or 3 years?
Karen, we told Karen several that's coming in the last 2 or 3 days.
Are they being reported?
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen any notice of it. Maybe reported on the government meters, but is Drudge Report, were there millions dying?
No.
That didn't happen yet? 2 or 3 people died? Oh, 2 and 3 magnitudes. So he's saying they'd be huge. You're saying they happened, but they weren't as big. Right, Ion? They weren't as big as he
right,
projected.
Well, yeah.
So the human craze wouldn't have the big level. So you've got like global warming led to global cooling. You got global dire predictions. Dire predictions are going to lead to mini nothings.
Mm-hmm.
Because the human craze won't have the big ones. They'll just cancel out by making it tiny. Like they did with the global cooling, just flipped it into the opposite from global warming. So we'll flip this huge potential disasters into nothing happening. But you have said that things are coming.
Oh, yeah.
So you're just like Bill. You're saying the same thing. Big stuff, big disasters coming.
Yeah. Better pack now.
Well, it's coming, but it won't happen to those that take their own power.
We'll come into it, you're right.
But, look, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Well, you can. You're not physical. You get everything, but and you don't care about any of it. You're saying big stuff's coming to California,
mm-hmm.
Like Bill is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why are you mocking Bill then?
We're not. We're just saying it's not because the space Jews are sending the asteroids to blow and that the government thing is running us into this place of that you're mad because it's criminal because you got to have judgment because they didn't tell you. Well, you'd take them to The Hague also if they told you and then it didn't happen just the way they say because the individual humans set it up that way anyway. So, you know, it's kind of like, wait a second.
So you're saying that these big earthquakes will happen to the degree we don't take our own power.
Right.
So we better start taking our own power if we want to save our ass. And you got to do it without trying to save your ass. You want to make that a big concern. So start relaxing, loud, and having a good party. That's the best way to stop these earthquakes and don't listen to such kind of interviews. Unless you're going to laugh at them.
Well, that's exactly right. And then sometimes, this ain't new, this is old.
What's it like when volcanoes blow? This is something you ought to know.
Very good.
It's not new. It's old school.
What is? What the worrying is old school.
Yeah, and if you know, it's just going to go till there's balance. Balance, 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 balance. It's about balance. That's what you're not.
Yeah, the balance between us, our response to what we
right.
think is happening in the outer kingdom.
Right.
Yeah, the... Okay, we'll just finish up this topic here.
I like to use the term Planet X because it's not a planet.
Right.
It's a highly compressed dwarf star, and it has a thermal signature, and it has an X-ray signature, but it's not, and it has a lot of debris around it, you know, asteroids, comets, and other junk.
Yeah.
So we need to call it what it is instead of calling it a planet. That makes us look like we're nuts.
Yeah. Yes. Andy Lloyd's got it right then when he's talking about a brown dwarf, basically, right?
It is. It's a brown dwarf. Now,
yeah. Okay.
I hear other people making incorrect statements thinking it was here and it's passed out and it's going back out. That's ridiculous.
So, Ian, is there some kind of dwarf star heading towards us?
Good gracious, not any more than anything else, Bob.
Good timing there, Ian. Okay, so they had no problem. The dwarf star only comes and is a tragic effect to the degree we get worried along with Bill Deagle, is Ian's point. If we don't worry along with Bill, it ain't going to happen.
Good. That's good news.
Yeah. We're positive conspiracy theorists.
So that's
okay.
where the balance is.
Yeah, that's where the balance is. So,
so we don't have to worry about that volcano on Big Island.
No.
Oh, no, that wasn't going to disturb y'all. That's why we're going to wipe out California and Margaritaville.
It was going to do that.
Look out, Calipia.
Yeah. So get your shorts in quick, honey, because you're going to have to spend it before July, apparently.
Okay, so the next topic is Council of the Eschaton.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And there's a collective called the Council of the Eschaton, and many of them are human or humanoid, but a lot of them are not. They're all the way from plasma beings to... all kinds of creatures that are beyond the imagination or Star Trek or anything. And I've been there.
Has he been there to see the Council of Eschaton, Ion?
What is the Council of Eschaton?
A collective of beings from everywhere.
Imagine that. No, you can't. He said it was beyond your imagination, so you can't imagine it.
Okay, carry on.
So I know things that I've never explained to anybody, but I'm going to explain some of them now. I've been to the council, before the council, three times. And I'm supposed to go there again soon. And our Earth is hanging in balance.
Hanging in balance. That's not a balanced statement, is it? That's a dire statement, hanging in balance. He's against
well,
the balance, too.
I know they could take it to The Hague and let them set the balance. And then you'd know, because they'd give a judgment, a value judgment, based on... intinction or eschatology. Maybe this is eschatology here.
Yes, ultimate mysteries.
And the future is not solid, as I said before. The operations of a person who's called to speak and brought to this space-time or brought back here is to give a guidance to the corporate, if you want to call it, the intentions of the public that create reality, which is why all the lettered agencies and all of the governments and all the religions and all the educators are all just ad men. They're all just like, you know, like the miniseries on TV, Mad Men. They're Madison Avenue men. They're marketing because they know the marketing creates a psychic imprintation on the public's consciousness, and the public's consciousness literally manifests reality.
Wait.
Got it. Okay.
Ed, is that what you're doing with playing with GoogleBlogspot.com? Are you an ad man laying it all out for everybody, sending them in this twirl of have you been to the council for them to straighten you out on what words you can put out and can't put out?
Not that I've noticed.
Well, but you hear the words.
I did hear the words.
That this is all set up, that this is what this is all. It's a conspiracy. It's conspiracy. And you're conspiring again, y'all. Well, if it's that good of a conspiracy, how come everybody knows, apparently?
No, they didn't know till Bill told them.
Oh. Okay. Now you know. Okay, good. Now.
Okay, he says.
So in other words, the engine of reality generated.
All right, so he's saying we're the engine of generation reality, but he says we're imprinted, making us helpless.
Nah. Well, what the hell good is power that don't do anything?
Yeah.
What the hell good is it to come into your place of power if you're just someone else's? Well, you better go to the Oracle and see if you can get Neo to straighten out the matrix for you so you can make sense out of it. But if you're just a meat sack that's feeding something else, then go ahead. Please yourself. But it'll be over soon if that be the case. But when you come into your power, they can't do nothing with you. It's amazing.
Okay, he just finishes up.
It's us, and we're being perturbed by both positive and negative forces that determine which pathway or timeline we're going to follow.
Time wave, that's interesting.
Yep, you would probably point out.
Well, we will wave at time, goodbye.
All right. Okay, that's the end of that. So now, nature of Jesus.
So when you have a great teacher, like Yeshua HaMashiach, who is the, quote, the son or a higher being, you know, the father in the flesh, is the best way to explain it to people because most people have a very rudimentary understanding of who he was.
Hmm.
He descended to our space-time, and his father was not the Holy Spirit that entered a virgin. That's another blasphemy. Because no Jew who is a Torah Jew will say that. He is the father, his physical, fleshly father was a Jewish man, and his mother was a Jewish woman, period. But his spirit was a great spirit, if you want to call it like the natives would say, you know, what they call Glooskap. He was the I am who am. He is the initial I am. He had the full knowledge of the creation in his being. Okay?
Okay.
Are you just miming his okay?
No, we're saying okay. Well, if you're saying that every human creator can come into their place of power, then you call that the Hooskow. Wait a minute. That's where they put the bad people. Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. How does that work again? If it's saying that you come into your power, okay, great. But then you start tangling it all up with the ancient Samaritan Hebrewoids, and what does that got to do with anything?
I just want to rewind it slightly and go back here or something. Okay.
The moment he was a physical person on the earth, he had all nine bodies.
Oh, you must have been looking at my website, five bodied plus the next five bodies. He had all five bodies when he came to it.
Ed will tell you there's lots of folks been listening to you, Bob.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, he said he had nine bodies. This is Bill. He goes right along with it. Okay, yeah, I get it. I'm totally getting it. He's trapped with a madman.
He's getting something, that's for sure.
When you're with a madman, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans. When you're with a madman, go along with him until you get your exit. That's do how Jack Bauer does it. He relaxes and allows, and then he gets out.
Yeah. They had that trouble in Gomorrah, too. Bring them angels out so we may know them. Uh-huh.
Right.
He had the internal spirit body of the Eternal One.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. That's a good
way of
explaining
it. So in other words, he was coexistent in eternity, which is no past, present, or future. At the same time, he was a physical person on Earth.
Okay, so he was coexistent in past, present, and future at the same time being physical. Now, you say that...
Everybody is.
Yeah. Everybody is, but you wouldn't even limit it to past, present, future. You wouldn't.
Well, because if you get that there is no time, how can you have a future and how can you have a past?
Yeah, there wouldn't even be an eternity outside of your physical.
There certainly wouldn't be a conspiracy regarding it.
Yeah, and there wouldn't be an eternity outside or parallel to your physical. Your physical would be eternal.
Exactly.
That's a fine distinction there. Okay, great. Now we come up to the order of Melchizedek, co-creators of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Mel, kiss my dick. Remember him? Order of Mel, kiss the dick. Okay, cool. Co-creators of the universe.
People who acquire their ninth body, their eternal body, and when they acquire that ninth body, okay, well, they're still physical on Earth. They're called of the order of Melchizedek.
All right, so he's taking Ion Dogma and saying only an elite have it.
Mm-hmm.
Ion's saying everybody can stay here forever on Earth.
Absolutely.
If Bill could say there was an order of Melchizedek, but we'd be okay if he qualified, said, now that's just for them, and they got there first, but you can do it. If he doesn't end this by giving us our power back, then this has been a digression. A manipulative communion, that's what it's been.
Right. Now, you'll hear references to it in the old Bible, and there's other terms, of different terms used in different cultures, but that's what they are. And over the span of human history, there's 24 Melchizedek.
Now, Hickon, you point out there's only one Melchizedek, not 24, and he's still here.
Correct.
Right.
Which are basically those who understand the nature of reality, the nature of the universe, and are here as teachers to teach so that when the consciousness is changed, the public will choose a timeline. Civilization won't become an abortuary, it'll become a delivery room.
So we want to move the timeline so it becomes a delivery room, not a mortuary. Sounds like a lot of action there, right? That required a pretty monumental effort about false premises. False premise of timelines. Advanced cultures. Start interacting with advanced. Are there such things as advanced cultures, Zion?
What are advanced? They would say you're an advanced culture, Bob.
Yeah, so it's relative there. So we don't know when we started interacting with advanced cultures.
And at the end of this, you still don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
You are a light being becoming aware of the supreme nature of what you are and the fact that you have absolute ability to create yourself. So, like, for example, when we talk about the Bible, God didn't create evil. God didn't create Lucifer, the light being that became Satan. He created the potential for ultimate infinite creativity in every being so that we can become whatever we decide to be.
That's true. Would you agree with that, Ion?
Sure. Sounds like something we've already said, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In other words, we are co-creators of our own universe.
Okay.
He's created us literally to become his children, to become a creator of the universe.
God out there is created. Wrong. No, he or she out there created us. Would you agree with that, Ion?
Mm-hmm.
We created ourselves. And we're already eternal. We don't even have to try to become eternal. We're already.
Get any more eternal than you already are.
Manifest his will, and we shema, when we hear in the voice, we call the phonons, the vibration of the spirit, the light, the energy, the beingness, and the higher dimensional vibrational planes. When we know the will of the creator, we literally become literally the intentional creators of the universe. In other words, we create life extension, leaping across space-time, interacting with advanced beings. In other words, the political system becomes irrelevant. The religious technology and dogma becomes irrelevant because everything is swept aside and there's only one truth. There's not millions of truths. There's not opinions. There's simply the way it is.
Oh, he's...
We think this ion thing must be catching on. They seem to curtail their message a bit, do you think?
Well, that point about whatever you were, too bad I couldn't remember, too bad I was not decent enough to have a memory, but I'm living in the ascension process, so I don't have to know nothing, remember anything, but something like this, I'm just going to replay slightly, get his words. Okay, everything is swept aside with the thinning of the veil. We would agree with that, Ion?
Sure.
Yeah, in a way. But then he says becoming one truth. That's where he screws up. They actually, with everything swept aside, then a million truths can exist. I would take the opposite.
Granted, but he's trying to, he can't get there from there.
Yeah, he's trying to bring it back to God, the external God. That's the one truth of what it is.
Well, some people have an external God if they haven't come into their power.
Right. He's telling everybody to come into their power, but he uses the non-way of coming into your power to get there. So that's not going to work. So I think I'm going to flunk Bill. But let's just see if he can save us with the last line.
There's not millions of truths. There's not opinions. There's simply the way it is.
simply the way it is. And that's not true. There is no is, there is a way.
And we have a very great deference with the word truth.
Yeah.
You look up the word truth, that's subjective in and of itself. So there's only one subjective ideology. Okay. Well, congratulations. You win pride.
And that's our program for the day. Thank you, Ion, Bob, Bill Deagle, and the folks at Project Camelot, and all the listeners for Information Farm. Until next time, good day.